They just wanted to be the best defense on the field. They respond to those things and take those challenges very personally, and they played like it.
Yeah, challenge accepted, and Steelers' defense was even better than you could have expected, frankly. I mean, you give up negative 5 yards in the second half. You're going to win those football games. They give up fewer than 200 yards. The Steelers' defense, real quick, Doran, number one in yards per game allowed with 230, number three in rush yards per game allowed with 71, number six in pass yards per game allowed, 158.3, which is, I think, the number for the perfect passer rating, too, so that's ironic, and number one in points per game allowed with 8.7, which really is the only statistic that matters when you think about it. The defense is better than I thought that it would be, and I thought that it would be great. The offense is functional.
Mm-hmm.
You feel better or worse about the Steelers now through three games?
I feel better, and talked about this a little bit earlier. Just looking around them makes me feel better. They're more of a complete team. I just can't pinpoint on the defense why that they're that good this year. Like, what is the singular thing? Like, let's throw stats. Like, whenever you watch this defense, what do you see? Is like, oh, they're this good because of this.
I'm just not seeing a weak spot.
Right.
I think they're deeper, and I think at inside backer, you got three guys you can count on. I think at corner, you're better at the number two spot and at the one spot because Joey Porter Jr. is more of a finished product now. I like the safety tandem. I think Larry Ogunjobi's healthy. Cam Hayward is back and healthy. I think you can make a reasonable, you can have a reasonable take and say that they're better at like five or six spots than they were last year.
I think they play well together.
Yeah.
And like within the defensive structure of like what they're asked to do, I think that they play, they understand each other. They understand. It's just like, you know, remember when we were watching Minka and Terrell Edmonds back in a couple of years ago? Like, they played well together as a safety tandem. I feel like everybody's playing, like, well together. They understand the mission. They understand what they each need to do. And that's why that they've been playing so well. And, you know, whenever you have TJ Watt, you know, it does help a lot in a lot of areas. But I feel that this whole defense understands that they have one mentality. And they're all on the same page all the time. They get it. Like they understand each other's job. They understand each other's what everybody's trying to accomplish. And that is Terrell Austin too.
Yes,
got to give him some credit. And obviously Mike Tomlin is the puppeteer here. But I give Terrell Austin and I give this defensive staff a lot of credit of getting everybody on the same page of what the actual job is and they're executing it.
You're not seeing missed tackles.
No,
you saw the wide open touchdown. Okay, you gave up 10 points. Can live with it when you give up a touchdown.
You're
going to
give
that,
up some points.
You're going to give up points.
Like, it's the NFL.
Yeah, you're going to give up points. You're going to give up yards, and really they haven't given up yards or points. I mean, they gave up 10. They gave up, six last week? Week one, they gave up 10. There's nothing to complain about. Not one single thing defensively to complain about. I can't pinpoint one.
To be able to specifically game plan for each team, like you put in game plans because it's like, okay, we're playing the Bears or we're playing the Lions. Like we're gonna have a specific game plan. Yeah, I get that every single week. But to like down to the T on offense and defense, the only way to like specifically identify issues of a team and attack that and stay on course of that, which the Steelers have done on offense and defense throughout the first three games, you have to have the personnel to do that. And I think that may be overlooked, especially in offense. It's like you have to have the personnel to be able to attack and to be able to play a certain way, to be able to adapt and, you know, have the evolution of doing different things. The personnel on both sides of the ball gives them the cushion to be able to do different things to specifically identify what an offense or a defense is doing. You have to have the guys to do that, and they do. And they're not a finished product right now, but I think as the season goes on, if you can specifically identify certain game plans every single game of how to beat somebody, you got to have the guys. Like, you got to have the Justin Fields to be able to move back there, to do the things he does in order to create plays. You got to have the George Pickens. You got to have Najee and, you know, the Cordell Patterson's to go in there at times. And on defense, whenever Peyton Wilson goes in, whenever Nick Herbig goes in, whenever, you know, you even see KZ, whenever you see Beanie Bishop, like you have to have the guys to be able to specifically identify each team's weakness and attack them because it's going to be different than the week before.
Yeah.
So you have to have the personnel to be able to adapt and do that stuff.
Yeah, Atlanta not similar at all to this team. I know Atlanta wants to run the football, but the Chargers have to run the football, and the Steelers said, okay, you're not going to run it.
Yeah, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, you're not going
to
run it.
We got the guys to do it.
Yep.
To stop it.
Good luck. You don't. We're going to get you out of what you want to be able to do. And it was a close game up until really midway through the third quarter. You had the turnover by Justin Fields, the bouncing ball. And this, to me, was the moment of the game for the defense. You turn the football over, three and out. Three and out. You don't need to win it by not turning it up. Like, you can take some risk and afford a turnover because you know your defense is going to stand up for you.
Exactly.
We talked about, you and Doug brought that up earlier in the week. You can win with defense that way too. Take a risk or two because guess what? You give the Chargers a short field, bang, first play sack. Oh, Herbert's hurt. And then the next two plays, nothing, punt. Like, you were set up to get points, and you turned it over. Oh, God, it's not the end of the world because you're going to get the ball right back. And Mike Tomlin talked about them, the defense, after the game. He said, look, time of possession, that's good. They don't care. They don't care. And that's three straight games the Steelers have won time of possession. That's complimentary football. But Tomlin said they don't get to choose when they go out there.
Mm-hmm.
What they do get to decide to do is how long they are on the field.
Right.
He said, we control getting off the field, and we did. This is the best I've felt about the Steelers' defense in a really long time, Doran, based on everything you said, their ability to mix and match with personnel. They haven't been challenged by the best version of a team that does want to throw it around. Like, I think Atlanta wants to throw it, and they looked pretty good yesterday, and they did beat Philadelphia, and at the end of that Philadelphia game, they looked really good. Game one, okay, you're not going to be a finished product.
The challenge is going to be the Jets, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. You're not. You haven't done it. You're not going to have to do it against Indianapolis. So you get one more week, and then, yeah, you figure, Dallas, too, wants to throw the football.
Yeah.
So you haven't seen a team that wants to drop it back and throw it a bunch. Justin Herbert, good enough to do that, but that's not what they've wanted him to be this year. And so what do? You beat the team that lines up against you. But it's not just that they're playing good defense. They're playing stupid good defense. Like, absurdly good. They're top six in every major defensive category. And in the second half, they couldn't get a yard. They couldn't get a yard. I don't care who you play. It's the NFL. You couldn't get a yard. It's impressive to see. Very impressive. And then you got T.J. Watt, who you can't keep him off the stat sheet. And you brought up Justin Herbert. Excuse me. You brought up Nick Herbig. What did I do there? H names. You said you would like to see him start and play more than Highsmith down the stretch. What's awesome about that conversation is Highsmith's a really good player.
Yes.
Like, there is no disrespect to Alex Highsmith there when you can roll Nick Herbig out and say, okay, try to block this guy. We're talking about Rashawn Slater, and on the strip sack, because I think I got my sacks confused earlier. Hello. My man's he barely even gets out of his stance.
Right.
And Herbig's by him.
Yeah.
Like, what do you do? You can't give help.
Yeah, right, because you need help on the other side.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a very interesting dynamic, and it's a good problem to have. Moving forward, whenever Alex Highsmith does get healthy, because that guy is, Herbig is impossible to block. Impossible.
He's like a sports car out there. Just,
yes.
Zing, zing. He's going.
Zing.
All told, 161 total yards allowed, just 61 on the ground, 3.1 yards per carry to the NFL's best rushing team coming in. Five sacks, Herbig with two, Hayward, nice to see him get one, Watt, and then your guy, Landon Roberts, who that was nasty.
Mm-hmm.
He reminds me on the blitz like Vince Williams. Like, you don't want to see that guy.
Nah.
And they blitz both inside backers. Yikes. Patrick Queen, I thought, played a better game as maybe his best game so far in three as a Steeler. It is 8:13. It's time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. See what they can do for you. You can give us a ring on that fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. If you are encouraged by Justin Fields, if you're encouraged by the Steelers' offense, we'll give you maybe more reason to be encouraged when we come back. We're going to look around the NFL in a little bit as well. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So Justin Fields has now done something that only three Steelers have done. Just the third Steelers quarterback to have a completion percentage of 65 or better and a passer rating of 90 or better in three straight winning starts. Now, Ben did it 10 times. That's not a surprise. Cordell Stewart did it in 1998-1999. This is according to former Steelers PR guy Ryan Scarpino. So Justin Fields making some history. One thing I've now learned during through three games, and you've been a big fan of this guy, the person and the coordinator, and that is Arthur Smith. I'm just going to start believing him when he talks. He said after the first game, we're not attacking the middle of the field because we're afraid of the safeties. Not afraid, but like we don't want them to ruin the game, basically. What do we see in this game? 15 passes between the hash marks. So I think people were afraid after game one, oh, God, the Steelers haven't thrown over the middle of the field now in years. Is this what it's going to be? Is this Mike Tomlin's not letting it happen? Nope.
No.
It's just game specific. That is wonderful to see.
Mm-hmm. It does go into, you know, what Arthur Smith wants to do. I think he's predictable in a way, but at the same time, it's hard to stop. Like, whenever he does get rolling and he does start feeling what his personnel does bring to the table, like, he isn't going to let anything hold him back. You know, if there's a situation that is open that he can attack, like, there's nothing that'll hold him back from saying, like, oh, you know, we just don't even want to flirt with that. Like, he is going to do that. And he'll tell you, too. Like, he does mean everything he says. Like, he's like, this is what we're going to do. This is how what our thought process is. And this is how we're going to attack it. And we're going to try our best to try to win this football game by doing it that way. Like, he has an offense, but it is based upon game plan.
Yeah.
It's, you know, he has a structure of an offense. Like, you could say, like, all right, like, a West Coast offense. This guy has this type of offense. This guy has that type. Like, Arthur Smith has a way that he wants to run his offense, but it never is the same.
Right.
He's very good at adapting.
You need that. And Steelers haven't had that in a long time. I mean, Todd Haley, I thought was a really good offensive coordinator. His was more, I thought he did a good job with his personnel. Like, depending on the team he was playing, he would, okay, we're going to run a lot of three wide receiver stuff. We're going to run a couple, you know, tackle eligible stuff, like, depending on the team. Arthur Smith, you know, he's going to run multiple tight ends. That's not changing based on the opponent, to your point, but where on the field are they going to target?
Right.
Where are the liabilities on the other team? We're going to target those guys. And it's just such a breath of fresh air. Steelers put up 346 yards yesterday, 114 rushing yards. They went on that long stretch with Canada. They never got up over 300 yards. And I think they would have done it last week. They would have done it last week if not for a couple of penalties. This week, no penalties. Do we consider this kicking the dam down or breaking the dam? Dam breaking? What was this? Dam breaking. Is the dam broke?
The dam's about to break.
Yeah.
Yes.
They broke the dam.
Yes. Like we said last week, I mean, it wasn't going to be anything like super, super crazy.
Yeah.
But this is the dam breaking. I mean, what did Justin Fields have? 240? Something like that?
245.
245. Was efficient with the football. I mean, the obviously interception, you know, bounced around. It wasn't like he, like, had a bad throw.
Yeah.
Like, and somebody picked it off. You ran the football. A lot of guys touched the football. I mean, you look at the box score. If you look at who touched the football and who caught the football, who ran the football, I mean, four guys ran the football. And then you had Scotty Miller. You had Pat Freiermuth, you had Calvin Austin, you had George Pickens, and they had, like, not just one catch for 5 yards. Like, they had, I think, over 25 yards each.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the dam breaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially when you could have had 27. And here were the three final drives. So, field goal, touchdown, and then this has to... I guarantee you, when Arthur Smith speaks on Thursday, his favorite drive is going to be the last one. Where there's 4 minutes and 59 seconds left on the clock, and you never give it back to him. You take all 4:59 off the clock, and you knelt down at the end. 4 minute offense, but for 5 minutes, chef's kiss.
That's exactly how you draw it up.
Yeah.
How you draw it up.
And I think they go into that with confidence. A couple of times during the game, too, you saw Justin Fields get up and line up quickly and get on the ball. They're not going to do a ton of that. They do want to win time of possession, but to do it here and there as a change of pace, I'm feeling really good about Arthur Smith, man. Really good. And the other thing is, the first half, they stunk at running the football. Didn't do it. They came and they wanted to run the football. Mike Tomlin said after the game that styles make the fight. This was going to be a game where both teams are going to run the football. In years past, they'd have given up on the run. Game one last year against the 49ers. Now, the score really got away from them, but they only ran for like 31 yards or something like that. Game number two, they didn't run for more than 60 yards. This wasn't going great in the first half, and they just continued to pound the rock. Like, I think that's kind of what you're talking about. Uh-huh. Where that's going to be the baseline. We're going to run the ball. We didn't see a ton of play action in this game, which is interesting, but we had in the previous two games. So here and there, they'll do this. Here and there, they'll do that. I'm really enjoying the Arthur Smith experience, and it's not just comparing it to the last guy. I've done a lot of that in this segment. I've done a lot of the first few games. I just think he's doing a good job relative to the rest of the league, too. I think he's doing pretty good.
Yeah, the offense has been down in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few teams who have exploded. I mean, the Saints didn't. You know, they did the first two games, but yesterday they didn't. I think that they're the most balanced team. Like, balance-wise, like, you don't get both sides. You get one side and it hasn't been looking good, and that's where, you know, offensive football is right now. But with the Steelers, you know that you're going to get a balanced football team. They've done a good job doing that.
And wait until you start seeing a team. It depends on what the opposition's trying to do, but, you know, a team wants to play a lot of man coverage, and we haven't really seen Justin Fields have his bonkers rushing game yet. Like, this is a guy who can run for 100 yards in the game. Has. And at some point, he's going to do that, and he hasn't yet. And in this game, he barely ran at all. Read option, though, at the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
Which, boy, that thing popped, right? That thing popped wide ass open.
Bang.
That makes it harder, too, to stop the run, doesn't it, when you have to contend with the quarterback?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that was the same play that they got stopped in the preseason, too.
On that fourth down.
I believe. So they went back to it. They're like, it's going to work.
Cleaned it up.
Where he didn't pull, or he pulled it and he shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
So they, you know, they could do multiple things at certain times that could really catch a defense off guard.
Yeah. And you're going to probably fold that in more and more. Like, I would think that when Russell Wilson is healthy and your backup quarterback, you'd feel more confident in being able to run some of those design things.
Yes.
Also, and I already told you, the general you know my thoughts on this. PFF, after the game, watching on the TV copy. For what it's worth, Zach Frazier had a grade over 95, both run and pass blocking. And I don't want that to be ignored from a coordinator standpoint either. Justin Fields was not this good, not by a long shot, in Chicago. He comes here, and he's being really efficient and accurate with Arthur Smith. You've got a rookie at center who's playing really well. I have to give the coordinator credit for that. You had Faltano, who before he got hurt, and that's terrible, he was playing well. They had survived with Anderson at left guard. This isn't ideal. Like, they're not playing with the offensive line they wanted to be playing with. They wanted Van Jefferson to be their number two wide receiver, too. He barely played in this game because he got poked in the eye. They wanted to use Jaylen Warren, I'm guessing, more. All these things. And yet the offense week by week has gotten better.
Uh-huh.
Coordinator deserves a lot of credit. When young players play well, you got to give players credit. But the coordinator's putting them in positions to succeed, too.
Yes.
He's done a wonderful job.
Yes.
And he zins like a monster. Respect, monster. You see that Jersey Jerry cat had like 15 zins in his mouth at one time?
No.
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me, though.
Yeah, he was yelling at Joe Alt, which, by the way, I thought Joe Alt did a pretty nice job. Until he didn't. Because you're just,
happens.
Yeah, you can't.
It's TJ Watt.
What do they call him? Control, Alt, Delete?
Yes.
That's a pretty sick nickname. You can't delete TJ Watt. You can only hope to contain him. Shall we look around the league?
Yes.
I think we should look around the league. Trouble in Cleveland. Like, big, big, big problems. Baltimore won. Something's going on there. A couple of trends that I think are worrisome for them. The Bengals will play tonight. We'll look at the division. We'll look around the NFL as well. And that is brought to us by Champ Tires. All brands in every size. We've already got a few texts at 412-928-9370 about the sports talk in Cleveland right now. Ken Carman, Anthony Lima on the air on our brother station. Odyssey Cleveland. Browns lose 21-15 at home to the New York Giants. Myles Garrett needs an MRI on his foot. And let's just call this what it is. The quarterback situation there is horrendous. You had fans chanting for Jameis Winston. You had Deshaun Watson not play well. The offensive line for the Browns, which was supposed to be a strength, hasn't been good. I know Watson threw two touchdowns, no picks. He was also 21 out of 37. for 196 yards. Like, you're just not going to win.
Nope.
And that defense, which is supposed to be great, you can't be giving up 21 points at home to the Giants. You just can't be.
The Giants.
I think they're done. Yes.
That's demoralizing. You know how bad that situation is.
You walk up in there, if you're a Browns fan and you bought tickets to that game, and you're thinking, okay, week one didn't go well. We got our butts whooped by Dallas. Dallas is good.
Are they?
We're going to get to 2-1, regroup, figure it out. Giants had different ideas. That team's finishing last in the division, no question about it. I don't even have any thought of them being a playoff team.
No.
Not even at all. Like, the Ravens at 1-2 are a much better football team. The Bengals haven't won a game yet. They're a much better football team. And the Browns, they're going to be on Hard Knocks at the end of the year. That's the kind of stuff that generally doesn't go so well for them. They look like a 6-win team to me, Dorn. I don't know if we're looking at the same thing, but that's what they look like to me.
It all starts with the quarterback position. Mm-hmm. And they've had the worst quarterback position situation ever that we've ever witnessed in the NFL. Like, there's been a lot of bad quarterbacking, but it's like, okay, well, we'll just move on, or we'll go to our backup, or we'll trade, and in the offseason, we'll draft. This is a situation that is, okay, it's bad on the field, but it's bad even worse off the field. So it's like a whole black cloud just staying there every single second. You can't get away from it. And that's just it's a horrible situation for them. I mean, it's like,
my mouth hurts for smiling. I'm sorry.
I mean, but like, you think, like, you do that to get a guy and pay a guy that much money. You at least hope that he can make you a contender in the playoffs, and they're not even close to that.
No, I do think they'd be better with Jameis, but I don't know that they're going to be willing to do that. They should do that. Here's what would drive me up a wall if I were a Browns fan. Of course, the Baker thing, right? And Baker and his team did not play well yesterday, which we'll get to. But Sam Darnold, good coordinator, good weapons.
Yeah.
He's playing great. Willis.
Yes.
Wins a game.
Two games.
In this one in particular, he played really well.
Yep.
Justin Fields, that's a 6th-round pick, looking like it could be a 4th-round pick. That's what you needed to acquire him. For Willis, you got nothing to acquire that guy. You start looking around the league in some of these quarterback situations. The Steelers got Russell Wilson for $1.2 million. The Browns sold their soul. They gave up a bunch of draft picks, $250 million guaranteed dollars. Why do I keep saying it like that?
Dollars.
Dollars. It just keeps coming out that way. All that for a below-the-line quarterback. And you had one. Even forget about having one. You can get quarterbacks. Like, think about the first 2 weeks, what Derek Carr did. Gardner Minshew went in and beat the Baltimore Ravens, not this week, but last week. There's a lot of quarterbacks that you kind of go, eh, that are winning football games. Andy Dalton put up 36 points. That team couldn't score. The team's like Callis going out to the club. He can't score. They can't score. 36 points with Andy Dalton. We love you, Callis. It's a joke. I'm looking around the league. I'm seeing a lot of good coaching getting good stuff out of so-so quarterbacks. And I'm looking at the Browns, a coach that everyone seems to like, and you can't get it out of this guy.
Well, he got it out of other guys. It's the guy. It's not. It's Stefanski. Can't be. How can you say it is? Look what he did last year.
With Joe Flacco.
Right.
So, and others.
It's the guy. It's the guy that is playing the quarterback spot. And, you know, his teammates are starting to feel it as well.
Oh, yeah. And you pointed this out to me week one, something I didn't see. An offensive lineman wouldn't help him up.
Mm-hmm.
Week one?
Yep.
They got to be tired of the BS. And then you flip over to the Ravens, and they were throttling the Cowboys for a while. The Ravens have been blowing a bunch of 10-point leads in fourth quarters lately. And they were fixing to do that in this game. They screwed up the onside kick. We saw Justin Tucker miss a 46-yard field goal. So there's a couple things at play there for the Ravens. They have not been able to hold on to leads, although they eventually won this one. They got outscored 19-0 in the fourth quarter. I don't care. That's just not good. And then Justin Tucker, who was the cheat code, he's not. The Steelers lined Boz up for a 62-yard field goal, and I think we all felt pretty good about it. And they should. We saw another long kick in this game by the Dallas kicker. That was 60-plus yards. Yep. 60, was it 65?
64.
64. It's insane. That used to be with the Ravens. They crossed midfield. Uh-oh. They're giving up 3 points. Not anymore, and they can't hold on the leads. The one thing they did figure out, finally, which you've been calling for, they gave one of their best players the football.
Right.
25 carries, 151, and 2 touchdowns for Derrick Henry.
And we'll see what the Bengals have tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is...
The prediction would be, from me, that the Bengals are going to win this football game, but this sport is dumb. As we mentioned, the Panthers put up 36 points. And maybe the more surprising, maybe not, but another surprise, when the Broncos go down to Tampa, and they whoop up on the Buccaneers. Bo Nix played well. Bo Nix looked like a different guy.
Yes, he did.
Which, I mean, I guess that should make you feel a little bit better about the Steelers, shouldn't it?
In the defense, yeah.
Yeah. Like, Bo Nix looked really bad last week. Let's just call that what it is. Looked pretty good this week. Some more NFL storylines, some more Pitt storylines as well, which we'll get to coming up in the next segment. But then, we've got Mark Caboli for a full hour, breaking down what he saw. Steelers, 20. Chargers, 10. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Here are the standings today. Not that it matters, not really, but here are the standings today in the AFC. Steelers, 3-0. Bills, Chiefs, Texans, Jets, Chargers. Then the Raiders have the 7th seed. Then you get the Dolphins, Patriots, Broncos, Colts, Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Titans, Jags. Doran, it's a week-to-week league. It's a month-to-month league. But I'm going to start naming teams, and you tell me if you think that they actually could make the playoffs.
Sure.
And there's a method to this madness. There's a reason behind this. Raiders.
No.
Dolphins.
No.
Patriots.
No.
Broncos.
No.
Colts.
No.
Browns.
No.
Titans.
No.
Jags.
No.
I didn't have the Jags as a no, but I did the same thing you did
pondered.
Yeah, I pondered it. So that means that Chargers, Jets, Texans, Chiefs, Bills, Steelers all in playoff position now, and then the Bengals and Ravens are the only teams that we consider, in addition to those, vying for a playoff spot. So 8 teams going for 7 spots. That makes what the Steelers did yesterday really important.
Significant, yes.
Massive win. Massive win. Steelers 2-0 in the conference, but the Chargers are going to be in this thing, I think. That's a well-coached football team, and they're banged up, and they got to survive injury, right? But they're sitting there at 2-1. They're not going to win their division. Steelers could win the AFC North, but if not, you're fighting for a wild card spot. Now you've got the head-to-head tiebreaker over them. I just don't think it should be undervalued on what the Steelers did yesterday in that football game.
And it all comes down to really quarterback play, and then if you have everything else that could fall into place, like defense. We see Justin Fields getting better every game. Like, I can't see somebody like Will Levis, you know, having the light bulb turn on.
Yeah. I would bench him for Rudolph, actually.
I would, too.
Yeah.
I would, too. The Dolphins situation, it is what it is. I mean, they're on their third-string quarterback.
Yeah, that one I would file under through no fault of their own. That just sort of happens. We were talking about North Carolina earlier in college. Like, they're on their 4th quarterback. Nothing you can really do. I did say we'd get to Pitt. So, as we look at Pitt's schedule, I did it this morning. Not a game they can't win.
Right.
Not a game they can't win. So, what is the... And we're going to talk to Caboli about the Steelers for the next hour here. He just poked his head in, must not have seen that the light was on, and that we're a professional outfit here. So, coming into the season, I think it was about getting their feet under them. You know, stabilizing the program. All right, well, now you're 4-0, and you look at the schedule. What's the goal now? I mean, ACC championship? Like, how do you think that it should be framed?
Well, I always say win the games you're supposed to win. I think that's one. But you have such a great opportunity. I think the goal now is to not look ahead and not try to get too antsy. And not say, like, oh, ACC championship game. Like, no, it's just to go 1-0 every single week. They have a legit opportunity. I think that everybody does know that. I think that if they just play their game and get better on defense, which the negatives I could see getting fixed. Like, one of the negatives may be the offensive line. But that takes a while sometimes to gel together and figure everybody out. But the defense would be, you know, stopping the run and doing those different things. I trust Pat Narduzzi to get that fixed, and to get that fixed probably this week. So
good time for that bye.
It's a good time for the bye. Get some guys healthy, get guys freshened up. I think you just got to go week to week and just kind of see how this thing plays out, because you don't play Miami. You could see them in the ACC championship game if you do make it that far. But like you said, these games that are in front of them are winnable. You just got to go out there and play your best football and try not to play from behind and have to have the heroics that you had to have the last 2 weeks.
Right. Play with a lead, figure that out. And I expect them to do that for all the reasons that you've said. And while you were talking, I was clicking through ESPN's predictive metric, and I don't know how much stock to put in it, but just as a frame of reference, you know, they've got Pitt beating UNC, beating Cal, beating Syracuse. So that had them, 7-0 going on the road to SMU. That's absolutely doable.
Yep.
If not more likely than not. All right, much more on Pitt as we move forward in the week, and Thursday's a big day for that with Hillgrove and Bostic. But coming up next, we've got Mark Caboli, the Pat McAfee insider, the 93.7 The Fan Steelers insider, in with us. But first, fan weather. It's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms at sunchevy.com. Today, high of 78.